Isn't this a sports show?
All right, hell yeah. Chiefs Raid.
Almost entirely.
What? What is going on?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs are the Royals and I'm living in hell.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This is the tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme.
Chiefs losing before the cast off.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Welcome to Almost Entirely Existential Dread. I'm your host, Who Cares Anymore?
On ESPN Kansas City.
Honestly, I thought that Friday was probably going to be the most distressed this show has ever been. Non-playoff loss category. And I might have been wrong. Today may be an even more distressing show. Because we found out today what the Chiefs got in return for Marcus Peters.
Jack Bleep!
That's the answer. Just Jack Bleep.
As Juan says, we didn't even get a couch.
Not even a couch. Not even a footstool. In fact, the Chiefs are the side here that basically sent a footstool back.
I mean, it wasn't a good couch.
Let me bring in the people who might have missed this information somehow. We found out today that the Chiefs got, in return for Marcus Peters, just in case you've forgotten, by the way, all-pro, two-time Pro Bowler, still in his rookie contract, Marcus Peters, just in case you forgot. The Chiefs sent Marcus Peters and a 2018 sixth-round pick, which might be the pick, by the way, the Chiefs got in compensation for Nick Foles. So in a way, the Chiefs just traded Marcus Peters and Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles to the Los Angeles Rams for a 2019 second-round pick and a 2018 fourth-round pick, and I'm living in hell. I mean, it's just not enough. And I laugh now because crying on the radio is a major faux pas. I mean, really, like, it's just unbelievable. It's the Patrick Mahomes era. I thought we were done chiefing for at least a few months.
But it's totally believable.
Oh, but it's 100% believable.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
This one's hard, though, because I've been really into what Brett Veach has been doing this offseason. And the mindset that Brett Veach has had this offseason has been extremely encouraging to me. I can't really judge him as a person, but the philosophical moves he's made this offseason have been very encouraging. Also, you might not know, the Chiefs are going to be releasing Ron Parker, which has been reported by Therese Paylor. We'll talk about that later as well. But that fits in line with the Brett Veach philosophy. The Brett Veach philosophy has been very good. This move doesn't fit. And I'm going to go through all of the reasons that this sucks. And all of the returns that I've gotten on Twitter, we'll go through all of it. As always, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe, or you can comment on the Facebook Live video that's out right now on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, or on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page, just today, because it's a big story. You can comment on the video, we'll go through those throughout the show. You can send me a tweet, we'll go through those throughout the show. Just use the, if you're going to tweet me, hashtag it AES, so I know it's because you're listening to the show. But what the Chiefs got for Marcus Peters here, Marcus Peters and a sixth-round pick, for next year's second and this year's fourth from the Rams, is simply not enough. And I have declared that I will simply not abide the revisionist history that we are getting out on Twitter right now of people going, oh, they got what they could. Well, he had to go. No! I will not abide that. This is an organizational failure. And we talked about this a little bit on Friday, but now we know. Now it's unquestionable. You don't dump that talent for this value. Which is not value. It's losing a player so entirely that you give him up for pennies on the dollar. Do not tell me, do not try to make yourself feel better by saying, well, they got what they could from Marcus Peters, and that's enough. It isn't enough. It leads you to a point where eventually you have to ask yourself, well, what were they? What was their bottom? What was their bottom level? Were they literally going to trade Marcus Peters for just the highest offer, no matter what that was? Was there no way he could stay? If there was a way he could stay, then this trade shouldn't have happened. And if they had decided before going into the trade that he had to go, that's really, really bad business. I was going to say on Twitter, I ended up tweeting something to this regard, but I was literally saying, well, you know, really the only way this makes any sense is if we find out that Marcus Peters, like, killed Andy Reid's dog after the playoff game. But then I remember that Andy Reid went out and got Michael Vick after he got out of prison, so that doesn't even really make sense. Also, I'm not excited to hear people come out and go, well, if 30 other teams weren't interested, what does that say about Marcus Peters? This isn't a salary dump. This is admitting that Marcus Peters was too much for Andy Reid and Bob Sutton to handle. And if that's the case, go, honestly, I mean this. Go hire Rex Ryan if that's what it takes. If you feel like you've just lost your grip on your guys so entirely, you've lost your grip on Marcus Peters so entirely, a guy that works for your company, that is under contract for you, if you're willing to trade him for pennies on the dollar because he's gotten too big for your coaches, that is a black mark on the resume of Andy Reid and of Bob Sutton. And I'm not stunned that no other team was willing to pay more, by the way. Because there's some inherent risk there. You go out and you bring in a cornerback that has some on-field outbursts, and you have some questions maybe about paying him long-term, and you're bringing an outside guy into your locker room. You're not sure that's going to work out. There is inherent risk in trading high draft picks to bring in other players. Inherently risky. I get it. I will not blame other teams for the Chiefs' mistake here. And it will be remembered forever as a mistake. The degree of the mistake, up in the air. That we don't know. Maybe this will be maybe those draft picks won't pan out. The Chiefs will never win anything. Patrick Mahomes could be great, but if the Chiefs lose every game 42-35, then we'll never think of this as anything other than the beginning of another disappointing era in Chiefs history. And maybe the Chiefs end up with this high-powered offense and these picks pan out well and your second-round pick ends up being a number two corner and your fourth-round pick ends up giving you a little bit of extra help here this year. Maybe you go bring in a safety or something that bolsters your defense up a little bit. The Chiefs win a couple playoff games. Mahomes carries in the new heights and maybe something happens at the top. And that would make this not a big deal whenever you look back, depending on how far the success goes. But I'm not willing to bet on the Chiefs having tremendous postseason success because I've seen them before for me, a nice decade of kind of intent watching. For most people, it's more than that. And going back to that, well, if 30 other teams didn't offer more, what does that say about Peters? That take is too easy. And it's too simple, and it's too popular. I'm seeing a lot of it on Twitter, and it's extremely distressing to me. Because I'm not arguing that Peters was a coach's dream. But if every player was Eric Berry, then being an NFL head coach wouldn't pay so well. It's part of the job. It's part of Andy Reid's job. It's part of the reason that we like Andy Reid so much, right? He's a good player's coach. He's got a good locker room. He handles different personalities well. This is what Andy Reid is for. Marcus Peters committed no crimes. He played at a Pro Bowl level every Sunday for the last 3 years. And so, yeah, as a football organization, if you question, well, would you take Marcus Peters being a difficult personality? With those results, yes, I would. Now, if Marcus Peters, quote, issues were violent or reckless, if he was caught drunk driving, then this conversation shifts. Although it didn't shift that way for Danny Duffy, which I saw someone point out on Twitter, which I thought was interesting. Did we ever come up with a way, Beards, to signify that I'm loosely implying that race plays a factor? Well, that's how I did it.
I don't think we ever had that discussion.
Okay, I thought about it then. How can we whenever that comes to fruition, how can we loosely imply that I'm saying that race is a factor? And like I'm okay with Danny Duffy staying in Kansas City. Everything except for that I know about Danny Duffy, I like. Seems like a good dude. Also, was drunk behind a wheel. That's dangerous, man. The Chiefs went out and drafted Tyreek Hill because that was the right football decision. And now maybe he's been a great teammate, and there have been no recurring incidents that anyone has heard of. I hope he's on the straight and narrow. And it certainly was the right football decision. But going and getting Tyreek Hill was a huge risk. And also, something that put your franchise in a pretty terrible light on draft day. But you entrust those things to Andy Reid. Travis Kelce was having these on-field outbursts. Pay him. Entrust him to Andy Reid. Travis Kelce is the face of the franchise right now. And I will take an occasional outburst if it's giving you one of the two best tight ends in football, one of the five best corners in football. It's the NFL, man. The on-field product is what matters. And if you genuinely believe that Marcus Peters' attitude was making the Chiefs' on-field product worse, then you can go ahead and say this trade was the right move. I don't know how you could believe that, because we saw like who was backing up Marcus Peters last year. I think you would feel silly if presented with facts, but I digress. But it's how the NFL works. You don't put up with a bad attitude from your third string defensive tackle. Or Roy Miller. Remember the Chiefs brought him in last offseason, and then there was a report that he had some sort of domestic violence incident, and then like 4 hours later he was off the team. You don't put up with that from that guy. You think it would have been, if Tyreek Hill would have had that happen, you think he would have been cut within 4 hours? I do not. It's gross, it's grimy, but it's how the NFL works. I'm not even advocating for it. I'm not even advocating for the gross, grimy NFL. I'm just telling you that it's true. And Marcus Peters isn't that.
Do you want the Roy Miller stuff real quick?
Sure.
Just from Wikipedia. He was signed on August 2nd. He was released on November 13th following domestic battery assault.
There we go. And like that story, I was at a zoo. The story came up, and I was like, oh, okay. And like I hadn't looked at my phone in a while. I think that I might have had back-to-back notifications of him being reported and then him being cut. Like it might have been on the same screen all at once. I can't remember. But it was very, very quick. It moved very quickly. Because that's how it works in the NFL. And comparing Marcus Peters to someone who got arrested for domestic battery is unbelievably unfair to Marcus Peters. And so this is it. I don't know if you heard the show on Monday or on Friday. Today's Monday. If you heard the show on Friday, this might be derivative. But my stance on the Marcus Peters trade originally, and it continues now, is that if you're going to get such sad value for this good of a player, then you're better off exhausting every possible angle for rehabilitation on that relationship with that player. And Ian Rappaport earlier said it was best described as a mutual parting between Peters and the Chiefs, which does not sound to me like Peters demanding a trade or forcing his way out. So if that's the backbone of your argument, you're going to have to leave that at the door also. Because, again, Rappaport says it's a mutual parting. Not all mutual partings are mutual, by the way. There are plenty. Like the John Dorsey thing was parting ways. But if you're going to report, if Rappaport's going to report that, I'm willing to say that has some teeth. There's another report somewhere else saying, you know, the Chiefs figured out they didn't want to pay Marcus Peters whenever it came time to pay the Piper. That's fine. Whenever he had all these issues last year, all these issues being the suspension, I said that's going to come into play whenever you discuss him for a long-term contract extension. Do you want to pay, make him the highest paid player in football? I don't know. Maybe you have worries about what happens with him on his big second contract. That's fair. Making this move in the offseason before the last year of his rookie deal, which also precedes the fifth-year option, which also precedes the ability to franchise tag him for as many as 2 years, in all likelihood it would just be one. The decision to make this move for inferior value, to make that move now instead of exhausting every possible opportunity to rehabilitate that relationship, that's a mistake. It's simply a mistake. Albert Breer tweeted, so there's a lot to the story. He said, ask yourself this. Why didn't the Colts, Ballard, or Browns, Dorsey get in, despite having a need and cap space? Here's my answer to that question that I've asked myself. No one was willing to pay Peters' actual value, so you keep him, and he plays for you. You keep him this year, you pay his fifth-year option, maybe you even franchise tag him. And then when he leaves in free agency, he's going to bring back a third-round compensatory pick value. That can change based off of who the Chiefs sign in free agency and everything. But that is certainly the value he would get in return, assuming that he doesn't have no free agent value the next year. And if that's the case, you have bigger problems on your hand. I don't think that's a realistic thing to worry about. And what if the Chiefs knew that Peters was going to leave after his rookie deal? I've seen that a lot. That's been a question poised to me a lot. Still fine. I would rather have two more years of Peters and then get a third-round compensatory value rather than zero more years of Peters and then a fourth and a future second and also costing a sixth. I would rather have more years of Marcus Peters. Peter King tweeted, it's a light return for the Chiefs. Bill Barnwell said at some point the price gets low enough, the market's disinterested enough for Marcus Peters. It seemed like the Chiefs would be better trying to rehabilitate Peters within the team as opposed to trading him away. Bucky Brooks gave it a thumbs down emoji and some analysis. I'm not going to bother reading it all right now. It's all my timeline if you want to go read it. And Terrez Paylor, by the way, had a thread about the Chiefs' apparent plan, which I think is useful and good. And I think that he's getting good information on what this whole plan is. And they have a chance to really contend in 2019 by getting Hill and Kelce and Kareem Hunt all operating around Patrick Mahomes, letting us become Mahomes' team. I agree with him. They have a chance to be good in 2019. After taking a step back this year. But he also talks about how Veach is trying to make this defense younger and faster. And this is where it loses me. You could have kept Peters through 2019 without ever franchise tagging him. That only opened your 2019 window wider. Open up what you can get that way. Open up your ability to actually contend by keeping young value, young speed, young aggressiveness, a young turnover machine. Brett Veach is exactly the type of, or excuse me, Marcus Peters is exactly the type of guy that Brett Veach is looking for right now. Like Brett Veach right now is at the combine, which I guess started. I only say that because it's on NFL Network in front of me. I literally did not know the combine was starting today.
I changed the channel.
That is like, they're not just like replaying an old year's combine, right?
I doubt it. I don't know why they decide to do that.
It's NFL Network.
But why?
Yeah, no,
why would you replay a combine?
Well, this says it starts tomorrow. So no, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Turn off your wind tunnel microphone. It's so distracting. Thank you. But Brett Veach is at the combine right now, or will be tomorrow, depending on what we're doing with this NFL Network channel broadcast. Brett Veach is at the combine looking for Marcus Peters. Like, do you realize how silly that sounds? And I understand, believe me, if you're new to the show, ask someone who's not new to the show, hey, Does Josh understand the value of value in the NFL and the value of rookie contracts and all that? And I promise you, anyone who's ever listening to the show will scream in your face, yes, God, yes, he never shuts up about it. It's so boring and dumb, and I hate it.
Also, we're on rookie contracts.
Yes, correct. So we know that value intimately. And so, yes, I very much understand the difference between drafting Marcus Peters this year and having year four Marcus Peters on your roster from a value perspective. If the Chiefs find Marcus Peters in this year's draft, without a first-round pick, admittedly, if they find Marcus Peters in this year's draft, then yes, then none of this matters, I guess. Although having two Marcus Peters and Kendall Fuller would have been pretty dope. Like, remember Kavari Russell? That didn't even make it to the roster. That was another shot that John Dorsey took trying to find another Marcus Peters. In fact, I'm pretty sure they took Kavari Russell before Kendall Fuller went. It was right around the same range, though. I think they were both third-round picks a couple years ago. But Marcus Peters fit exactly into what the Chiefs are looking for right now. Head case be damned. He fit into what this team is looking for from a performance and youth and value standpoint. Eventually, he would have been paid equal to his on-field value. That's what happens in his first big contract. Or even perhaps the fifth-year option isn't cheap, although the Chiefs did pick up the fifth-year option for D. Ford. And the franchise tag is certainly not cheap.
Kavari Russell's picked 10 spots above Kendall Fuller.
Nice, good pull. I mean, yeah, this definitely is, by the way, the actual combine. So we're good. So I'm assuming the Brett Veach is there. At least a bunch of scouts are currently there. Looking for Marcus Peters.
Very quickly, Owen has just commented, if we lose to the Rams in Mexico City by a pick six by Peters, I will die.
Yeah.
That's in play.
It's going to happen. Like, listen, I believe in Marcus Peters. That's also true. I believe in Patrick Mahomes literally as much as anyone else I've ever spoken to. And even if I believe and I'm wrong, it's still a gamble worth making because of the value of having a quarterback on a rookie contract. I believe in Marcus Peters, or I said it again. I can't let him go. I believe in Patrick Mahomes as much as anybody, but he's going to throw a pick to Marcus Peters in that game. Like, that's just, I mean, it's going to happen. It has to happen. How are we doing in the comments? Are there lots of comments? Are they civil? Are they angry? Are
we've
mid-level?
Got 17 so far.
All right, that's a pretty good
some
first
of them
segment.
At the beginning were just kind of the, you know, what? They didn't get a couch?
Good.
Some of that kind of stuff. And then there are a couple other ones that are like longer and more thought out. And
all right,
we'll check out some of those next segment.
Yeah, I'll check out some of those in the next segment. Also, I do want to talk about the Chiefs reportedly cutting Ron Parker and how the Chiefs' offseason plan continues to come more and more into focus. Also, just a PSA, there's some details out about David Amerson's contract, the corner that the Chiefs signed a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week ago Friday. I know it was a Friday. 2 weeks ago Friday? I don't remember. But the details in that contract have come out, and there's even more incentives and everything than we knew. So his actual base value is like $500,000, and the Chiefs could cut him out of training camp if they wanted, and it would cost them almost nothing. So that keeps that interesting. Also, David Amerson's not the reason the Chiefs were comfortable trading Marcus Peters. In case you're one of the people that said or believe that, that's simply not true. That does not play into it. Trading Marcus Peters is something that the Chiefs were apparently just going to do and bleep everything else. Whenever we come back, we'll start to talk a little bit more about the offseason plan that the Chiefs are going to be putting into action officially on March 14th, but have actually started, when they traded Alex Smith away. By the way, if you're new to the show, if you're watching on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, please like the video or like the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page so you see us in the future. Also, you can listen to the podcasts wherever you want, whenever you want. Just search Almost Entirely Sports, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Sometimes it feels like we're doing this show just as a 2-hour live podcast recording, and that's totally fine because our podcast numbers are decent. So go get the podcast that way, and you can consume it. Also, though, we are a real radio station on 1510 AM and the new 94.5 FM. In fact, I think we're going to be off 99.3 like at the end of the week.
Thursday.
Thursday?
Thursday's what the email said.
All right, so...
Which means 2 months from now.
2 months from now we'll be off, but we're certainly on 94.5 right now. That is the station, and you added, I mean, go put it in your car's presets. Or like the page, or search the podcast, or follow me on Twitter, JB Prisco. Follow Beards. Beards is at Beards McFly. He had a good back and forth today of some good Marcus Peters, what Marcus Peters would have had to have done to get traded for this value jokes. We'll probably talk about that later, too.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good thread.
They're all true, by the way.
All of them. Every
that's
one
what
of them.
Rumblings say.
I was just about to say that's what the rumblings are. Beat me to the joke. All right, whenever we come back, we'll look at your comments, tweets, and talk about the Chiefs' offseason plan, including cutting Ron Parker. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sad.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm not a big fan of country music, but I think I could write a country music song called The Chiefs Hate It When I'm Happy. That feels like something that would work just fine.
Yeah. Garth Brooks, of course.
Twang, 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 twang.
With Joshua Briscoe.
She broke my heart once again. I should have known she would trade another man. Oh, I don't want to get too savvy. With my heart on my sleeve, the Chiefs hate it when I'm happy. Twang, 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 twang.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I'm in the wrong profession. I knew I needed a microphone. I never knew it was as a country star. Some of the comments on this video are garbage. Some of you guys are great, and some of you are just not listening. I'm not saying that you're garbage, by the way. I would never.
But you!
No, your comments. Some of the comments are garbage. A couple ways we can go about this, but let's start with one, like, God. Tommy says he's a non-tackling, overrated troublemaker. Tommy's cover photo appears to be him shooting a very fiery weapon, which does make me worried, but it says he lives in North Carolina, so I think I'm good. Pro Football Focus put together an article a couple days ago using the last 3 years to create a top cornerback rating from all of football. Marcus Peters was third. I believe he's led the league in forced turnovers over the last 3 years since he's entered the league by a pretty healthy margin. By an unbelievable number of metrics, he's a top five cornerback. I will not. If you say that he's an overrated cornerback, you undercut your whole argument. Again, I don't want to be a D-bag. I really don't. I don't want to talk down to you or anything, but like, honestly, if you come through with, well, he's not actually good, you're going to make yourself sound foolish. So just say what you mean, which is that you hate that he kneeled for the anthem. Which, by the way, Mellinger's got another column out. I didn't have a chance to read the whole thing, but it started pretty high up. It talks about the fact that this opens up some pretty ugly possibilities for what this means in this organization's like hierarchy. And I think that matters. I tweeted this the moment that Peters was traded. If there's any way that this comes back to Clark Hunt demanding that Marcus Peters be traded because he didn't like that he sat for the anthem or stayed in the locker room during the anthem, that's going to be a national story. Now, the report of that, I'm sure that Mellinger would love to get some way to confirm that beyond a column. I'm sure that there are lots of reporters that would love to be able to get something like that, not necessarily on the record, because that's not going to happen, but to be able to say that with some oomph behind it. But we've heard Clark Hunt talk about how he wants all his players to stand. Like, that is on the record, and Clark had an unbelievably weak backbone response to the president calling the players and players' mothers names whenever that was all in its all of its full-throated heat. So that is going to equate. Sorry, like it's just going to. I don't care if you think that it should or not. It's going to be a part of the conversation. Tommy also says if he wanted to go, so what? Well, it makes your team worse. Chris says if he didn't want to be here and you and 29 other teams didn't want him, what do you think he's worth? Doesn't mean anything. No, that's not. It's simply not true. You have control over him. You don't have to trade him. And listen, if what the Rams gave up is the most you could have gotten for him, that's fine. But eventually, You just keep it. Like, if you're trying to sell your car, you want to upgrade to a new car, you don't have a ton of money, but you have enough money to upgrade to a slightly nicer car, and you want to sell your car for $5,000, and the best offer you've gotten for your car is $2,000. Does it make financial sense for you to go ahead and sell it? Or would you be better off just riding it out until it finally dies, and then you go buy a car whenever you have more money? You don't have to sell for 70% off or whatever it is that you think Marcus Peters, that I think Marcus Peters is actually worth. Any price tag for Marcus Peters that starts with less than a first and is underselling him. And if no one wants to pay that value, then you keep him. And Mike says this, you know, then he can retire if he doesn't want to play for you so badly that he won't stay in Kansas City and play. And by the way, we never heard that he was actually a locker room cancer, as Daniel has surmised, that he was a cancer to our team. Again, if you think that Marcus Peters made this team worse, then I guess say it. Say you think that he was a cancer and this team's better off now than it was before. I just don't think you can watch the game with your two eyes and believe that on the other side of it. I just don't know how you can possibly believe that. Truly. And if it's for a couple of firsts, or a first and a third, then fine. Say, hey, you know what? I'd rather have a first-round pick that's happy to be here and a third-round pick that's happy to be here rather than have Marcus Peters who wants to leave. All right, that's fine. Well, the Chiefs... There's violent... Is that you? Did you hit... No, okay. There's violent desk keep banging somewhere.
Oh, I thought it was like a hammer down below or something.
No, I don't think so. Just, it was like startling. It was loud enough to startle me. Anyway. But saying this team is better right now with this year's fourth round pick, and also you're just trading up like 60 spots. The Chiefs are giving up the sixth and then getting a fourth. So you just jump up like 60 spots at the back end of the draft, and then a second round pick next year for a guy who will not be on your team this year. It's not creating value. That's not value that extends what Marcus Peters is worth. Miles said, Reed decided he wasn't able to work with Peters. I wish he was on the team, but that's not what the Chiefs decided was best. And that's fine. I'm done with that. The problem is, I would love to know exactly why Reed decided he wasn't able to work with him. And if it truly was a mutual parting with the value they ended up getting for Marcus Peters, I would have liked to have seen this team work a little harder. But also, we do have to entertain, maybe Clark Hunt just wanted him gone. I don't know. Have to consider it, I guess. I'd rather not, because it's the least football-oriented way you could be looking at this move. But I don't know. Seems possible. If that's the case, it is hugely ugly. Juan says that Peters, sitting during the anthem, had a major influence on the decision. Wouldn't stun me. I mean, it definitely plays a part in the public perception, certainly. Let's see. Eric says a sixth-round pick, too, though. They traded an all-pro corner to move up into the fourth round of the draft. What? Yep. Not even an extra pick. Moving up. Move up like 60 picks. Get a second next year. Andy's making a good point. This team needs to have C.J. Spiller on it, so every time Brett Veach gets like an itchy trigger finger and wants to cut somebody, he can just cut C.J. Spiller again. I think that's good. Owen says, do you think this is the last big Veach move of this offseason, or is this just the beginning? And this is a good question. This is where I actually wanted to kind of spend, I don't know, maybe the remainder of the show to some extent, figuring out what the Chiefs are actually planning now. What are the Chiefs actually putting together? There's the report out now from Terrez Paylor that the Chiefs are cutting Ron Parker. That makes sense. I told you a couple weeks ago I thought that would happen. Not definite, but very likely. It saves about $5 million in cap space and costs about $2 million in dead cap money. I don't, and this is painting with a broad brush, and this is something my opinion has changed on this over the last few days. I don't think the Chiefs are terribly concerned about 2018. I think they'll win some games by accident in 2018. And they're not tanking in 2018. I don't mean any of those things. They're not going to tank. They're not going to go 2-14. This division has its gaps. They might be in the divisional conversation for a while. But I don't think their goal is to win in 2018. I mean, they just traded Marcus Peters for a 2019 draft pick, if that's not enough for you. But I think they're going to eat a lot of dead cap money this year, a lot of dead cap hits. It's Ron Parker, and they're paying Derek Johnson still. It's some money to Alex Smith, Tamba Holly, probably Alan Bailey. All of these things, I mean, they're going to be paying Marcus Peters almost as much as the Rams are going to be paying Marcus Peters next year, which makes me want to gag. I don't think dead cap money shakes them at all this year, because this isn't the year they're trying to win, which is reasonable. I've been saying that the window being open for 2019 is the most important thing. I also thought that Marcus Peters was going to be a very useful part of keeping that 2019 window as open as possible. But I think if the moves that the Chiefs make are largely going to be for building to 2019. You're going to have to fill out the roster somehow. Some moves like the David Amerson one-year deal also make sense, because it might not help you in 2019, but it's certainly not going to hinder you in 2019. So I think we could see a handful more one-year deals to fill out the roster. And any acquisitions are going to be guys who are young in value. So maybe it's Eric Reed and Kyle Fuller, guys like that, getting more playing time for your young guys. I don't know what the specific names in Brett Veach's mind, but that's the philosophy that I look at now, where as far as letting guys go or bringing guys in, this is the best advice I could give you to try to stay in the Brett Veach's mindset. Think about 2019. And either it helping you then, or at least it not being able to hurt you then. Give somebody a two-year deal where the second year is not guaranteed. It's about 2019. Play as well, re-up, 2019. Think that it might be too drastic to cut Alan Bailey because they don't have the depth there? Think about 2019. It's going to free up some cap savings this year. You can spend on some youth for the future. Not going to hurt you next year as far as the dead cap goes. Eat it all up this year. Set you up most for 2019. I don't think the Chiefs are going to move Justin Houston, but I am less steadfast about it now than I was on Friday, or I guess Thursday, more accurately. Friday morning. The last 72 hours have changed what I think is plausible for this team. I still think that Justin Houston could be this team's best defensive player in 2019, but in 2019, he's also going to cost $21 million. Also, there would be dead cap money, though, next year also. Also, I'm still really just scratching through the end of this cold. So Beards and Facebook have gotten a nice view of a lot of my, like, hacking fits. I think I've done pretty well with this cough button. The cough button's a magical invention. If you listen really close, you can hear all the times that the air conditioner stops making sounds. Like right now, ready? Did you hear that?
It's a really good thing we have those really silent air conditioners.
Yeah, it's awesome. Coughed in, couldn't hear it.
Oh, my air conditioner's not on. Dang it.
Fantastic. It is super nice out today. That was nice. That did help my mood a little bit, because I've just been grouchy.
I turned the air conditioner on in my car.
I did too.
Yeah.
I had the sunroof open, the AC
outside.
On. That's like 62 degrees. It reminded me of two things. It reminded me of how little I'm looking forward to like 90 degrees, because I hate that. But it also helped my mood out a little bit, because it's like Hawaiian button-up shirt and jeans today. I like that. That's like my default. This is what my Bitmoji should be wearing. Do you have a Bitmoji, Beards?
No.
The new update's pretty good. You can do like two-toned hair and everything. Way more options. Way more customizable. Anyway, while I was driving here today, I just had some like kind of like springish music. Windows down a little bit. Roll it up. Get a limeade from Sonic. Helped a little. Not a lot. Just a little. Anyway, nothing would stun me anymore as far as the moves that Brett Veach could make this offseason. Because it's going to be about the long-term vision. Yes, Beards, I know we need to break. I was going to wrap up this point and then go to break. Thank you for your hand signals. I think anybody at this point is movable. But there are also certainly more things in play. For better or for worse, there are more things in play for Marcus Peters. This isn't simply the smartest football move, because it's not even that. All right, I'm going to hack through this commercial break and chug some of my limeade, and Beards will get less antsy about the commercial breaks. I do want to, once again, just throw this out there, because we're moving to a new FM signal. I want to make sure you know, because you're probably going to hear a liner in a second that mentions 99.3 FM. No more. It is dead to us, even though it's not yet until, you know, Thursday or 6 months from now. But this is Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. We're here from 4 to 6 p.m. every single weekday. If there's Chiefs to talk, we'll talk about the Chiefs. If there's not Chiefs to talk, we'll talk about nonsense. And then after out of nonsense, we'll talk about KU and the Royals and all that. Other college sports as they become relevant. For the most part, that's Kansas basketball. I mean, sorry. You know it's true as much as I do. But we're here on 1510 AM and the new 94.5 FM. Out on your car's presets, and I think our unofficial slogan of ESPN Kansas City, when everybody else in the city is on commercial break, maybe we won't be.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hey, I'm Bono, and you're listening to ESPN Kansas City.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I cannot believe we got him to do that. Really a big get for us.
For free, too.
For free, yeah. No questions asked. I just had his phone number on my phone also. I don't even remember getting that. It's awesome. I'm going to go ahead and stay on this just for a second, just like for a little while. Chris Clark, he's at Chris Clark NFL, and he does the Locked On Chiefs podcast. And went and was on with that with Chris and Ryan a couple days ago whenever I said that I loved Brett Veach and that there's no way the Chiefs were going to trade Marcus Peters. Show was good, though. I enjoyed it. Had a good time with him. Like these guys. But Chris said, guessing the response I'll get with the questions here, but here I go anyway. Is there anything that behind the scenes that Peters could have done that validates this trade for you? First of all, I think that is hugely irresponsible to just start assuming things that Marcus Peters did that we never found out about. We have good reporters around here, and stuff like that has a way of getting out.
Usually by players.
Yeah, or by players texting like Therese. Yeah, that's how this works.
Or just players coming out and saying, hey.
Or tweeting, sure.
Hey, that guy's been a cancer for our team.
Right. Well, that was the Giants exclusively. But yeah, I mean, like a player texts a reporter and that stuff gets out.
Sources. Players think Peters is a cancer to the team.
Right. And my source is.
Hit you on the head with the big stick that says cancer.
Right. But also, it's important just to make sure that your responses to how you feel about Marcus Peters are consistent with your responses and opinions on Tyreek Hill and Danny Duffy. Just like listen, Tyreek Hill is one of the best players on this Chiefs team. Danny Duffy, one of the best players in the Royals, seemed like a really contrite dude after his DUI. Just want to make sure. If you're glad Peters is gone, but you're also glad the Chiefs have Tyreek Hill and the Royals have Danny Duffy, you're just going to want to make sure that you've got your logic in a line.
Didn't the Chiefs go into that draft saying we were going to draft high-character guys?
I think so.
Yeah, and then they picked Hill and Kavari Russell, who got kicked off his team for academic suspension.
Kavari Russell was before that, wasn't he?
No, he was in that draft, 2016.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Also, DeMarcus Robinson had some sort of issues at Florida or before Florida. I can't keep them all straight anymore. Uh-oh. I remember on NFL Draft Day, this is a fun story. I remember on NFL Draft Day, I was in running the board for some stuff. Do you know the story, Beards, that I'm getting at?
We were all there that day. Okay. I think so.
So
was this the Tyreek Hill day?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs draft DeMarcus Robinson out of Florida, and Danny Clink Skills hosting the show, and he's like, you know, obviously Googling whenever the Chiefs draft these second and third day guys. And he starts going through the report on DeMarcus Robinson. He, like, I don't know, got in a fight with a coach or something. I don't know. That reckless speculation. He's like, oh, you know, the Chiefs really getting those character guys or whatever. And then the Chiefs drafted Tyreek Hill. And I just remember, the clearest day, I remember Danny just throwing his arms up and going, like, come on! Like, oh, God, like, it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, it was a rough day for everyone.
Bad day for the character guys crowd.
Especially us. We then opened up the phones and took calls on a draft day.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. Yeah. Well, haven't heard many complaints about Tyreek Hill recently. Now, Marcus Peters, that guy is a cancer. God, I know I'm angsty. I know I'm sassy. It's what you get. Welcome to the show, I guess.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Which, did Shane come in there just to get the scoop on the knighted elephant?
No, he wanted to know something about UMKC.
I mean, I cannot think of anything more different.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That's a boring show they're doing down there. We're over here knighting elephants. What are they doing?
On ESPN Kansas City.
Fair question. By the way, Beards and I were having a conversation during the break about how we wish that the commission would just step in and not let this trade happen. This reminded me of a conversation I was having this morning with my basement housemate, Darren. Which I told him we will refer to him as basement housemate because it makes him sound like a squatter. Like basement housemate who we just cannot get to leave, but he keeps paying rent. But he was saying today, he said, hey, maybe the Chiefs like felt so bad about getting so much from Washington for Alex Smith that this is them trying to balance everything out with their karma. They're getting like a Brett Veach is a big believer in karma, and
man, we're gonna be real 500 for the next thousand years.
That's a good point.
Who's the 500 coach? Jeff Fisher.
Yeah,
let's just hire him too.
Hire Jeff Fisher. Yeah. I thought that was a good theory. But Brett Veach is just sad. He's like, yeah, oh, man.
Is Clark Hunt communist?
No. Have you ever listened to him speak? He's the most capitalistic dude you could ever know. All right. My soul hurts from this conversation. So Beards has put together something to try to, not even free him of his previous sins, but to atone to some extent. With the last 3 weeks on. So if you've missed the last week on from the last 2 weeks, so have we, so has he. But now we have the last 3 weeks of Almost Entirely Sports.
Previously on Almost Entirely Sports.
Any number between 1 and 4.
3.
1, 2, 3
is the Kansas City Royals. We've talked about the Royals for a long time.
Let's keep it that way. 2.
KU versus Baylor. Like, you know what things are gluten-free? Like, kale, bad bread, Renee, celery. Gluten-free things are gross.
Elephant of Almost Entirely Sports. Offer from the Nintendo. I dub thee now and forevermore. Mr. Dossie.
Renee has commented, if you're looking for me, I'll be at the bottom of a flight of stairs.
I don't know. Mike says, think they would have traded their 2018 first-round pick if they had intentions of trading Peters this year. No chance. This is a reactionary move. Also, several people in the comments have floated out the idea that maybe Brett Veach needed a new couch, which is a hilarious joke if you've listened to this show for the last 6 months.
Watch it be like some old moth-eaten couch with a bunch of
100%.
Like coffee stains or something on it.
100%.
Yep. It's like a fifth-round couch.
Not a sexy bottom third. Also, yep, I would love to take back the phrase sexy bottom third. I would love to have not said that. With open arms, we accept the differently abled.
Elephants can't drive cars, Beards.
One of them's co-hosting today. If you would have asked me 5 years ago, I said, hey, what do you think you're going to be doing 5 years from now? I wouldn't have answered publicly plotting the intimidation of a third grade boy.
The attempted illusion that the Royals would create that, oh, this is a team that can contend. Hey, we're raised royal and forever royal and taking the crown. This year's just going to be like, don't strain your butt.
What would you do if Justin Timberlake started singing into your ear at the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I think I would do that. I wouldn't do that. I think most people would do that.
Most people would probably do that.
I would start stripping. I would pop out. Part the kimono here a little bit.
No, thank you.
I'm going to part the kimono.
You know what we are? We're a bunch of
losers.
So.
Oh, God. Good. Ooh, Beards. Beards just whipped Dick Justice out.
Whoa.
Hey. I'm going to get a tattoo on my forearm that's like, you know, like the heart with like the script, but it says Charlie's mom.
You stop right there with that one.
I'm in this for the chicken and the money. If you had a genie, would you get rid of the weather in Kansas City with one of your wishes?
No, I would not. What
I
a dumb
either.
Question. Of course not. Why would you even ask such a silly question?
I know.
Obviously, it's Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
And Lindsay Vonn decided to tweet that she didn't realize it was Valentine's Day because she's at the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And is single. And about to holler at her. Sup, Lindsay?
Please do not slide into Lindsay Vonn's DMs.
I'm about to.
See if it's listening at home. You can tell what the sound is. That was me patting myself on the back. You know what, Mom? Why don't you take a second, stop watching Pride and Prejudice, and go kill an 8-year-old, huh?
Wow!
Whoa!
No! It sent me into a coughing fit.
Yes!
The end was just the perfect storm. Well, if you hadn't heard that before, that was last week on.
A little longer than usual.
Because also we missed 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or you missed 2 weeks. This is three. First, altogether. All right, back into the fun. Mike says, didn't Duffy want to quit baseball at one point also? Yes. Believe so. I think it's an interesting comparison to Marcus Peters. I slept so poorly last night. It was I've had a weird like cough and sniffle for the last, I don't know, like 4 days or something now. 4 or 5 days. But last night was the first night. So not Kawhi Leonard is gonna play. Did you see that, Beards? He wants to play in March now?
I did see that.
Okay, whatever.
That'd be nice.
Whatever, get out. Last night was the first night where I just like coughed for like, I mean, I don't know, like 8 hours. And so I'm just kind of leveling off now. So apologies for my hacking. Not my hacky radio, but my hacking into a microphone. Also, Andy says that you missed the Caveman Cinematic Universe, Spirits. Just missed the cut.
There was a bunch of stuff, man.
I'm assuming the last 3 weeks have had some good liner material.
There were like 100 audio clips in there.
Hell yeah.
And I could only fit 3.5 minutes in.
Look at us. Look at us just making good, good radio.
Oh, Renee, you just missed last week on.
Renee just joined the video.
Darn.
Well, she can listen to the podcast like the rest of them.
Having some trouble there?
Yeah, I'm having some trouble. I can't speak. I'm stuffy and coughing. A little bit ago, Owen asked, who's the next person to be cut? I'd say it's Holly. I just tweeted someone about this also, by the way. I think the reason the Chiefs haven't cut Tom Bahaly yet and will not cut Tom Bahaly for a little while still is because, first of all, league year doesn't start until March 14th. And the reason you cut guys now is to give them, you know, more time to join someone else. But I think right now they're waiting to see if Tomba wants to retire. And so if Tomba wants to retire, Travis Paylor's story today said that regardless of being cut or retiring, that Tomba would still free the Chiefs of the same amount of cap space. So I think right now the Chiefs are just waiting on Tomba to say if he wants to play again or not. And if he retires, then he can retire with like dignity or whatever. And if he wants to play again, the Chiefs cut him.
And then he can retire with no dignity.
Well, someone would probably give him a prove-it kind of deal. But yeah, I think that's what's going on with Tomba. Eventually he'll be cut. Or he'll retire. It was one other thing. Owen also says that his day would be less depressing because of Peter Trade if we sung the Chiefs Hate It When I'm Happy Again. I forgot to go back and get you a full, like, at least like a nice 30-second snippet of the Chiefs hate it when I'm happy, but I will work on that. That'll
I
be.
I mean, we could just play that liner again for the next segment.
I want to hear more new liners.
Okay.
I don't want to double up on liners.
Go listen
day.
To the podcast again, then, Owen.
Yeah, Owen. Yeah. Go sing it to yourself, Owen. Owen. Oh, another thing I forgot. I did need to deliver an apology. This is an unbelievably rare moment, but I do need to do this. I forgot to put it in the notes today. I do want to apologize for the way that I've dealt with the Marcus Peters trade. I have made some mistakes, which lots of people saw through the Kansas City Star on Twitter with the headline, "Naked man on ATV leads police on wrong-way highway chase in Kansas City." That was not me coping with it very well. I went to some extreme measures. Next time I need to let off some steam, I will be on a moped. And I will go the right way on the highway. I will still be nude.
Cocaine's one hell of a drug, man.
Losing Marcus Peters is one hell of a drug.
That too.
Listen, I'm a maniac. I don't mix cocaine and losing Marcus Peters. I'm a reasonable maniac that way.
Owen says he feels betrayed.
I'll work on the full single at some point. I do feel like that's the B-side to Mahomes in the Range. That would be. I feel like that's a pretty decent gimmick. To release a 2-song EP called Mahomes on the Range and the Chiefs Hate It When I'm Happy.
A little contradicting there, don't you think?
Well, that's being a Chiefs fan.
That's true.
And we could call it something like that. We could call it like the Chief Contradiction. Look at that.
Chief Concern.
Well, it doesn't really work. Listen, sometimes I'll listen back to a little bit of the podcast. Dang it!
Breathe.
I'm trying. I'm sick. I can't talk and breathe and cough all at once, and my body wants to do all of those. Sometimes I'll listen back to a little bit of the podcast, like I'll finish listening to another podcast, and then this show will start playing again because I subscribe. Gotta get those numbers up. And I get annoyed by some of the long, like, pregnant pauses that we have sometimes when I'm just kind of like moving from one thing to another or whatever. And I apologize for today having more of those than usual for longer duration than usual. It's that my lungs are filled with mucus, and it makes it harder to talk for a solid 2 minutes.
Mucus Peters?
Get out. It's currently 5:13. That is 47 minutes in the penalty box. Mic off for 47 minutes. All right, you can come back again. Also, we didn't give Ron Parker quite the full discussion I did want to give him. Partially, it's because I'm a little bit less... Wow, there's a defensive back from Cincinnati named Mike Tyson, who's currently running at the Combine, or who previously ran at the Combine. This is recorded, and they're re-airing it. I would like Mike Tyson as a defensive back. That'd be fun. Anyway, I'm a little bit less interested in talking about what it means for the Chiefs to be cutting ties with Ron Parker, because 2018 feels a little less important now. It goes back to kind of just being the year of Pat Mahomes and not really feeling like they're playing for much. But the Chiefs are worse off this year without Ron Parker. As a player, he's a pretty good player, a pretty good safety. Last year wasn't great. But I've spoken very highly of him in years past. And last year was hard because he had to be the guy with Eric Berry out. So the Chiefs are worse off without Ron Parker. The reason that it makes sense and I'm not raging at that like I am at the Marcus Peters trade is because it's freeing up $5 million. And I believe he would have been a free agent next year. And the Chiefs are building for the future now. And also, freeing up that cap space, it could be used somewhere else for a more long-term investment. So it makes sense. I thought it was a questionable move, depending on how much they thought they had a chance to contend this year. But cutting Ron Parker and eventually probably cutting Alan Bailey, along with trading Marcus Peters, which, again, that plays for more years, but especially the Parker and Bailey moves, it just kind of shows that the 2018 is not a priority. Building for beyond that is. And I don't think that is necessarily the wrong way to go. Winning with the first year of Patrick Mahomes would be really hard. And frankly, there's still a chance that they do that. Depends on how they invest this money. But I do expect the Chiefs to be spending this offseason, but just mostly in guys that look to help you for the long term. I'm excited for March 14th. The way that this season starts, this offseason truly starts in earnest, will be extremely interesting, as if it hasn't been interesting enough so far. I'm going to cough again.
That was a long one.
It was a long one. I'm playing hurt. I think I'm okay. I think I'm going to survive.
Darn.
One other thing worth noting as far as the Chiefs' offensive plans. So far, all these moves are defensive. Derek Johnson, Marcus Peters, Ron Parker, eventually Tom Bahali, possibly Alan Bailey. They're going for now, obviously, especially with the Peters trade. Oh, I'm Kendall Fuller also. Bringing in Kendall Fuller. They're obviously going for a full defensive purge. And apparently Andy Reid really believes in Bob Sutton. And thinks that the talent he was working with last year just wasn't that great. Which is a real knock on John Dorsey. One thing that would surprise me a little bit, and something that where Seth Kizer was on this first, saying, you know, hey, nothing at this point could surprise me. And I'm still largely in that camp. But doing anything with Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce or Kareem Hunt or the offensive linemen that you like, doing any of those guys would surprise me more than moving any other pieces on the defense at this point. Because you don't want to stunt the development of Patrick Mahomes. Defense is a little more individual. You know, who is your Patrick Mahomes of the defense? Because it was Marcus Peters. Ron Parker's a veteran. Is it Chris Jones now, maybe? I don't know. Even then. But you need a quarterback that has an offensive line and some weapons around him. So one place where I should amend that nothing would really surprise me, I'd be increasingly more surprised by big moves that would happen on the offensive side. Because I think the Chiefs know that they want to give they have to give every possible chance to Patrick Mahomes, give him a chance to grow, give him a chance to perform, and especially to build for next year. But you don't want to give him any terrible deficiencies that he has to work through. So I do think that's worth noting. Making any moves with, you know, any guy that Mitchell Schwartz, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Mitch Morse, Eric Fisher's basically unmovable. Not in the game, obviously. He's very movable in football games too often, but he's unmovable in the cap sense. I think we're going to see at least 4/5 of the same offensive line next year. And with Parker Anger and Brian Witzman and maybe bringing back Zach Fulton, I think the offensive line could look extremely similar as it did last year. I don't think that's the worst thing ever either. But the major overhaul is going to be defensive. And if there's a little bit more of a learning curve there, I think the Chiefs are more okay with that. I think they're more okay with taking a step back defensively because offensively it's about giving Mahomes every chance he can get to be as good as possible. And giving him every protection, every weapon that you can think of. I still can't believe the Chiefs traded Marcus Peters for peanuts. And so wait, we cut Ron Parker? Yes. He also suggested that I remove my lungs.
It would help with the coughing.
Andy says, is that better than silence? Is that better than long pauses?
Maybe.
Okay, well, we can try that if you'd like. Andy said cutting Tom today would start a riot in KC. It wouldn't. It would. You'd get a nice send-off, and it would just be even more leaning into, you know, rebuilding a defense this offseason. Cutting Tomba makes logical sense. He didn't play last year. I mean, he just didn't play very much at all. Allen said peanuts are good, and that's true. Also, on my TV right now, Dan Dockich talking to SportsCenter 6 host Michael Smith. Could not forget Michael Smith's name for some reason. Dan Dockich, forever a superhero on this show. Which is something that the Chiefs only people listening now don't even know the story of. Dan Dockich came on this show one day because he was picking fights with KU fans, and I tweeted him the phone number, and he called it. And he just, like, laid fire to the state of Kansas for, like, 10 minutes, and it was awesome. He's basically a wrestler. Like, he was cutting a wrestling promo, and he will forever be royalty. Forever be almost entirely sports royalty. Owen also asks if I start coughing up blood, start coughing up blood, should he worry? I mean, no. Like, the Chiefs just traded Marcus Peters. Life is meaningless. If I hack up a lung, just ship it to Los Angeles for like 14 cents. This is what we do now. Take vital organs, send them to Los Angeles for not enough. What, Beards?
I'm going to look up the price of a lung real quick.
The black market price of a lung would be... I bet it's well outside my price range.
Let's see.
Did we...
A 2011 report on the cost of organ and tissue transplant in the United States. Blah, blah, blah. Single lung transplant to be $561,000.
Oh, my!
That's a lung transplant, though.
Well, yeah, I don't just want to have a lung. It would need to be transplanted.
Let's see what the black market cost is.
I mean, would it be less because it's less regulated, I guess? Where are you getting these lungs from?
Don't ask.
Don't
look a gift lung in the mouth.
Is this a lung for me, or is this for me to sell a lung?
Well, this article doesn't have much. Let's see.
You got to open an incognito window to get to the dark web. It's common knowledge. That's the secret internet. I also, you have to do it in Bitcoin. You have to get on the Bitcoin internet. Hi, I'm young and cool and hip. Get on the Bitcoin internet. I'm ready to go to a commercial, but Beards is like really into this dark web thing, so I feel like I'm just sort of stalling while he's scrolling.
I can find it during the break.
I'm going to need you to find it soon.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Beards, hashtag give Josh the meats.
Oh, boy.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, Beards, what did you discover about the dark web's body part industry?
So I had to jump through a bunch of hoops to prove I was legit.
Sure.
Let's see here. One lung. I'm assuming this is one lung. 206,000 pounds.
What's the... Okay, keep going.
Okay. Let's see. Heart's 425,000 pounds. Kidney is 105,000. Liver's 104. Both corneas, I'm assuming this symbol means both, is 15,000 pounds apiece. Or total.
Also, 206,000 British pounds equals 287,000 U.S. dollars.
A little more than we can afford.
Well, am I trying to buy a lung or sell a lung now? Because that's important.
I don't think you'd want to sell that lung. It's no good.
I think
there's a bunch of mucus in it.
I think after I get through this, I just remember to take this Mucinex that I brought in my backpack. Mucinex is not a sponsor, but they could literally sponsor me for whatever they wanted. I don't understand how it works, but it does.
I should have taken some before the show.
On this article, it says, when he began constructing the exhibition, Von Hagens, whoever this is, reportedly spent $3,600 on a pair of smoker's lungs. So, I don't know. Is your mucusy lung worth the same as two smoker's lungs?
I would think so.
Double?
Eh, about. I'm just somewhere around there. I don't know. Could be a bit overpriced. Speaking of things that are a bit overpriced, Blake Bortles, what a segue.
6 pounds per square inch of skin.
Doesn't look enough.
No, but there's a lot of skin, man.
Yeah.
Adds up fast.
I want to keep it all. The Jaguars gave Blake Bortles an extension this weekend. The logic behind this makes me want to just lay on the floor until the world collapses around me. They can have a couple different ways of going about this logically. One being, well, we'd rather play Bortles and risk one of the rookies in this draft class. Or the other logic could be, well, we're pretty good with them, so that's good enough for me. Either thing would be terrible. It's a 3-year, $54 million deal worth up to $66.5 million with incentives that he won't achieve. And that includes $26.5 million guaranteed, tying him to Jacksonville through 2020. And it's essentially going to be a 2-year deal in all likelihood, or they're going to have to pay him something like, I don't remember how much it would be. They have to pay him a bunch of dead money in the second year if they were going to cut him after two, which effectively takes the Jaguars Super Bowl window that was open, and they just slammed it shut right on their own fingers. They could have gotten a totally Bortles-esque or better performance from any of, like, 50 quarterbacks on the planet for much less money.
Isn't Cousins still available?
Yeah, but he's going to be super expensive.
Okay. Could they not afford that?
They probably could have, but I wouldn't have done that either. If I'm the Jags, you got here by being cheap. You got here by just giving Blake Bortles every possible crutch and building around him with the money that you have by not paying for an actual good quarterback. They could have gone and gotten whatever quarterback falls to them in the draft this year, or they could have traded up. Chiefs just did. It's going to work out. Trade up and go get your guy. Go get Baker Mayfield.
Nick Foles.
No. Stop it. Stop saying free agent quarterbacks. I don't want any of them. Trade up and go get a rookie quarterback. And worst case scenario, he's Blake Bortles. Best case scenario, he's much better than Blake Bortles. Like DeShone Kizer last year, and I believe this, DeShone Kizer last year in Jacksonville's offense could have won as many games. Jacksonville's offense, Jacksonville's scheme, the time to work through an offseason with those guys, especially if they would have had the years that Bortles had. But just joining into the fun, I legitimately think that DeShone Kizer, as a second-round pick who the Browns took last year, who they're going to be replacing now with a top-four pick at quarterback, DeShone Kizer could have done this for the Jags. He did. His name is Blake Bortles. And the Jags are now, they're slamming that window down on their own fingers instead of doing the thing that got them this far. Stick with your cheap young quarterback that you get crazy value from and then build a horrifying defense. If you're going to pay a quarterback, he needs to be giving you elite value. Or an elite performance if you're going to be paying him that much money. Even this year, Nick Foles. Nick Foles and the Eagles with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles were in the mid to low 20s in paying quarterbacks. They were getting a pretty good value for Foles and Wentz. So they had a mauling defense around them.
It is, by the way, what the Chiefs are, what the Chiefs are trying to do. They're trying to get into a place next year. They can do that. They're going to eat a bunch of dead money this year. And they're going to start trying to do it this year. And actually, really, the dead money this year plus Pat Mahomes is probably going to be very close to what Alex Smith's salary would have been this year, interestingly enough. Not counting the dead money the Chiefs had last year, obviously. But that's what every NFL team should be trying to do, unless you have Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. You build everything you can around your rookie quarterbacks. You do not pay Blake Bortles $26 million guaranteed. That is intellectually offensive. That is paying 206,000 British pounds for a pair of smoker's lungs. Don't do that. Not a good investment. And the one thing that did make me feel good about it, KU's wearing red tonight.
Yeah, they look good.
That's interesting. They do look kind of good.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Apparently it was a request by the seniors.
I saw that. I was just going to my mentions into the Facebook comments again. Where was I actually going with this? Oh, Blake Bortles.
Smoker's lungs. You missed the cough button there.
Uh-huh. I let it go. I figured I'd just cough into the mic for the bit. I did feel good about the fact that whenever Blake Bortles got signed on an extension, people were tweeting me, just like adding me in the description or in the replies to the articles about it. That was encouraging and made me know that I'm building my brand. I'm also sort of close to 2,000 followers, which isn't nearly as many as it felt like it should be by now.
I'm close to 200.
That's a fun race.
Whoa, which one's going to hit?
Well, how many do you have right now?
183.
I mean, Twitter is definitely like, once you get the ball rolling, you're going to pick them up pretty fast.
You know who finally followed me yesterday?
Charlie.
No, but no.
Me.
Todd Lebo. Only took him forever.
That's funny. I have 1,934. That'll be a fun little race we can have. I hope you get to 200 very soon. Andy said, we live in a world where we get rid of Marcus Peters for nothing and someone overpays Blake Bortles. And yeah, we do. That's the world we live in, and it's sad and it hurts. It is a deeply sad realization to come to. I just feel like I need to hack up 1,000 lungs. I just have this tickle in the back of my throat.
1,000? You've got some excess. We could sell those to get rich.
That's a good point. Should have some of those extracted.
Put some money into the studio so it doesn't have a leaky ceiling and a bad mouse.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Update. The roof is not leaking today.
It also didn't rain today.
Because there's no rain, no melting ice.
No drizzle.
I would say with 100% certainty, though, there has been no addressing of the problem.
No, definitely not.
It's just not currently raining. So I'm a little worried about that.
Could you use some of that money and get computers that aren't running Windows Caveman?
You're pretty pleased with that joke, I feel like.
Eh, it was okay.
Do you want to tell me really quick about your comedy show?
Oh, so this was it Thursday that we were talking about, like, the caveman?
Yeah.
So we talked about that, and then you found a list at the end of the show that was the, I think it was, what, 25 unfunniest sitcoms of all time?
Yeah.
And the first one on that list, number one, was The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer, which, do you want to explain what the premise you read was?
Yeah, the premise that I read is that it's a sitcom about Abraham Lincoln's valet/slave.
Well, we have two misinformations.
Okay.
The first one is it is not Desmond Pfeiffer, it is Desmond Pfeiffer. Okay. Second one is not slave. The Desmond Pfeiffer guy was apparently like a British lord that got kicked out of England, and so now he just like works at the White House as Lincoln's aide. I watched two episodes of the four episodes that are available online. It's not terrible. Basically, the guys that invented it took season three of Blackadder and just copied and pasted it and then just changed the characters around.
I don't know what Blackadder
is. So season three of Blackadder, or Blackadder was just Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean.
Yep.
And so season three was he was this very sarcastic, very intelligent, very witty manservant to Hugh Laurie's incompetent Prince of Wales or whatever.
Okay.
And then he also had a manservant below him that was just a complete idiot.
Okay.
And it basically was that. Lincoln is absolutely lecherous beyond belief.
Okay.
Mrs. Lincoln's crazy.
Right.
Ulysses S. Grant's a drunk.
Okay.
And basically it's just Blackadder, but worse. It's not atrocious. I laughed at a couple points, but that was it.
Did you have any report on Cavemen?
I have not watched that.
That's the one I think you need to watch.
Okay. We can do that.
I want a full report on the Caveman TV show.
Okay.
Which, in case you weren't listening on Thursday, is the TV show based off of the Cavemen from that Geico commercial.
Yep.
The reviews were truly horrendous. And the synopses were horrendous. It was a terrifying experience.
Yeah. But basically, after I watched Desmond Pfeiffer, I went, you know what? I'm going to watch some season three of Blackadder now. And I went and did that, and it was great. It's just Blackadder, but worse.
I've never heard of Blackadder.
It's really good.
I also, it says, I see good reviews and everything here.
It's really good.
I don't trust your judgment.
Each season's the same actors, but it's like in a different era of history. It's like season one's medieval.
That's interesting.
Season one, it's the Blackadder family. So season one is the Blackadder in the Middle Ages. Season two is like, not Victorian, before Victorian England, but whatever. Somewhere around then. Season three's later than that. And then season four is like World War One.
Are they immortal, or is it just the family that all play by the same actors?
Yeah, it's just the family played by the same actors.
Got it.
So it's different Blackadders throughout history. It's very good.
Kind of interesting.
It's on Hulu.
I will never watch it.
I know. Just like you won't watch Fish Called Wanda, which is...
I have that out on my on my desk at home.
Yeah, that's where it was 2 weeks ago.
No, 2 weeks ago it was in my backpack.
Okay.
It made it out of my backpack and onto my desk. So, progress.
Slow.
Very.
The ESPN Kansas City way.
It's seeped into my personal life. I think I'm burned out on Chiefs and Marcus Peters talk.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Whenever you cry so hard, you have no more tears left. You can't make any more tears, or your tears are out. All my verbal tears are out. And I have fought with enough people that said he wasn't actually good and that he was a cancer. So, if you are also one of the many who has no idea why this happened, I hope that this has been a comforting time. I hope you have enjoyed the warm embrace of Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. And whenever the Chiefs trade Justin Houston and then also trade Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones for late fourth round picks in 2025, then we'll be back again to do this same thing again with an even warmer embrace, and this show will be your shoulder to cry on. Unless you've argued that Marcus Peters wasn't actually a good football player, in which case you're going to have to find another show.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I have some very like Bono-esque pink glasses that I did not wear with this jacket today because I didn't want to get beat up in the hallway by Todd Leba.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I had something I was going to say whenever it came back. I remembered. I've noticed this more in the last, like, 2 days more than ever before. It's kind of funny seeing people on Twitter that kind of run with, like, a the insider or analyst, like, vibe. It's funny to see how often they are just rephrasing and regurgitating the same thing that someone else said, like, 10 minutes ago.
Who are you talking about?
Not that guy. That guy is a joke. Now, there are other people recently that I've seen, a handful of other people recently, who will start tweeting about something in a way that a bigger and more connected insider or columnist or whatever will start doing. I'm actually, I'm kind of self-conscious about it with some stuff that Mellinger has written, because we did this show on Friday, and I then wrote a blog post on Arrowhead Addict going in very much the same direction. And then sometime after he finished the show, but before my post on Arrowhead Addict went up, Mellinger had a column come out that was covering a lot of the same ground. And for me, obviously, I'm saying that Mellinger is stealing all my stuff. For me, whenever Sam has, like, opinions that end up lining up with the place that I arrived at a little bit earlier, because, you know, his column, like, takes time to get published and stuff. Whenever I see him, I'm encouraged because he's, like, backing up some of my logic and my way of thinking and everything. And that makes me feel good. They're like, all right, I'm sourced in something reasonable here, because Sam is inherently reasonable. But I also worry sometimes that it'll just sound like I'm doing that thing with Sam's opinions, and I do not do that, nor do I want to do that. And it's just funny seeing sometimes on Twitter. Like, Therese tweeted earlier about, you know, like, the Chiefs plan everything, and I think he's getting, you know, good info, and he's plugged in. If Star guys, Kansas City Star guys, are tweeting it, I'm inclined to believe it. But it's funny watching other people later on jump on that same bandwagon. Well, this is why it's all happening. Brandon Kiley also just tweeted a quote from Jason Lock and Fora. Quote, "Everything I heard is this was a mandate from the top. Clark Hunt wasn't paying him," and that's in parentheses, it's from a write-up from Brandon Kiley, "wasn't paying him, and I'm not sure he was going to pay his fifth-year option either." Jason Lockenfora on why Marcus Peters was traded on the Pick 6 podcast. I mean, you can't, if that this is new, but I just saw this a minute ago. If this is accurate, this is the thing I was talking about earlier, I talked about this on Friday some, I hope someone latches on to this report, because you cannot scream this from the mountaintops loud enough. This would just be an unbelievable embarrassment. You're the Cowboys. You're just now the Cowboys. Your owner's coming in and mandating who he will and won't play. If Lockenfora is right, and that is where this is all getting the motor from, and for Clark Hunt, it's about an attitude he doesn't like, and it's about the national anthem. Clark Hunt is a whatever owner. I wouldn't want Clark Hunt being my general manager. And it sounds like he decided that this was a time for him to pull his owner card. And I'm not actually shocked or dumbfounded. I wish I was. But if that is, if that was the first mover on this, for Clark Hunt to go, listen, I'm not going to pay him. We'll pay him this year, not even going to pick up his fifth-year option. You're not going to spend my money on Marcus Peters. then Veach's hands are tied. Reed's hands are tied. And that's also why you'd have to trade him this offseason. But if this is the case, and again, the logic comes clear when that is the case, there are a whole lot of people that have a very difficult thing they're going to have to say, which is that Clark Hunt is, in this situation, micromanaging and is using a personal dislike to choose to not pay an elite football player. I mean, that would be... that would be rocking to Kansas City and to this fan base. Or it should be, at least. It should be. And Brandon said, Lockin Fora was on this early on. And he's also linked back to the Clark Hunt, the national anthem stuff from last year once. Says it here on this podcast, again, according to Brandon Kiley. You can see his original tweet at BK Sports Talk. I'll retweet it here whenever the show's up. I can't type and talk at the same time. I'm not that talented. But that was one of my first reactions. If this does come back to being a Clark Hunt decision, you can't even begin to unravel what all this means. Also, in Mellinger's column that came out, I haven't had a chance to read it, it came out during the show, but he started to paw at the hierarchy, saying this could end up revealing some really gross things about the Chiefs organization, and that Clark Hunt could step in and say, I'm only going to spend money on guys I like, or I'm not going to spend money on guys that don't respect the anthem. That is a fundamentally challenging thing to hear about your owner. The owner of the team that you're here for. A team that you are buying merchandise of. And you're just young Jerry Jones. I don't know. That is challenging. I hope that people pick up on this and that eventually Clark Hunt has to answer a couple honest questions about it. But I'm afraid that if I meet with Clark Hunt at 6:30 a.m. in a McDonald's sometime this offseason, I'll get a tranquilizer dart in the neck before I say anything interesting or ask anything interesting. So it's probably going to have to be somebody else this week or this time. Oh, Beard is pointing at himself. Sure. Yeah, that's good. Throw on an 8-10 polo and go camp out in a McDonald's at 6 a.m.
Wear a Star Wars shirt.
I mean, that would be much more fun, certainly. Also, it would hide your station affiliation, which also may be good in this particular instance. I'm wearing a pork necklace today. Did you see that? All right. Oh, come on, Clark Hunt. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.